Dan Kornfield, professor of sociology, Vanderbilt University.
Yeah, and you specialize in labor issues?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, it sounds as if the UAW has had at least some small successes. I saw the other day where they were able to organize a supplier in Louisville.
Oh.
But I guess some of the larger plants are still an unrealized dream for them.
Well, in the United States generally, it's been difficult for unions to organize large corporations in almost any sector, in part for two reasons. One, the large corporations often have tremendous resources to resist union drives, organizing drives during the campaign period. And then often they try to preempt unionization by providing high wages and good fringe benefits. So this has been a challenge for unions in all sectors. In the case of the automobile industry, the UAW has been facing these issues, particularly in the South of the United States, because most of the non-union auto production factories in the United States are in the South, located in the South, and these also are the foreign transplant factories that are often owned by Japanese and German auto companies. In the United States these days, are concerned about job security, especially due to two-tier types of hiring strategies by the non-union companies and the use of many part-time and temporary workers who work alongside of the full-time workers. And so there are some issues in the plants regarding this job security, especially of the full-time workers.
Yeah, the kind of issue that wouldn't necessarily be addressed by higher wages or benefits.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay. So in the case of the Chattanooga plant, kind of an interesting twist is that the you've got a German automaker that is very much used to a very different kind of relationship with workers and workers' unions.
Yes, in the United States, the the employment relationship is labeled an adversarial relationship, meaning it's a relationship in between an employer and an employee that's based in bargaining. And so unions in the United States typically fit into that traditional adversarial model by being bargaining agents for workers. And that's so collective bargaining is a very American type of employment relationship for and role for a union to play. In the case of Germany, Germany has bargaining, but it also has a system of shared decision making at the high management levels between workers and managers, in which elected worker representatives sit on councils that collaborate with high managers in strategic decision making in the factory, in the company. And so the Volkswagen company is attempting, along with the union, to create such a system in Chattanooga that would include collective bargaining. So a hybrid German-American model of employment relations is being developed in Chattanooga.
Yeah,
the VW plant.
It's my understanding that you've been somewhat complementary of the UAW and its ability to be adaptive. Is that the case?
Well, I don't know if complementary is the right word, but as a sociologist, just watching the UAW go about its business, it is in the context of Chattanooga, it is attempting to fashion a relationship with the company that fits that works within the context of the company's traditions and local U.S. traditions. In the case, the UAW does not use one size that fits all for its organizing campaigns. It tends to model the type of employment relationships that work in the local setting. And so in that sense, it's a versatile union. And so in comparison, for example, the UAW is attempting to organize a Nissan factory in Mississippi, in which there's a different tradition at work there. There, the local conditions are the civil rights movement and the history of race relations in Mississippi, and so in that context, the UAW is mounting an organizing campaign that works for those workers, which is a strong emphasis on basically giving voice and dignity to workers so that they can simultaneously achieve labor rights and civil rights.
Yeah. Here in Tennessee, the rhetoric from, largely the Republican right has been almost apocalyptic with regard to the possibility that the plan in Chattanooga might be organized. Is it something that really would impact Tennessee's ability to attract new business? Is it that important?
Well, it's one of the chief approaches to economic development, both in Tennessee and in the southern region generally of the United States, has been to attract corporations or capital investment in the region on a non-union model. That's not the only attraction of the region for companies, but it's apparently one of them. That is a long-standing approach that is approximately 60 years old in the region and in Tennessee. So in the late 40s, many southern states enacted right-to-work laws, which were state laws enabled by new federal legislation at the time that made union membership more optional for employees as opposed to required. And so Tennessee was part of that first cohort of states in the late 40s, and specifically 1947, to enact such a law. And the region enacted these state laws as they were on the brink of industrialization. So they were about to take off, and they wanted to use a non-union model of industrialization in the region. And so the enactment of these laws was to facilitate that approach to economic development. And so whether or not that has worked, it's certainly a successful union organizing drive would at a minimum contradict the 60-year-old approach to industrialization and economic development in the region. So the consequences could be that certainly if either or both of these plants that the UAW is attempting to organize, or at least in Tennessee, the Chattanooga VW plant. If it does unionize, it will send a message to workers throughout the state that that there is a readiness to take some type of collective solution to the to counter the mounting social inequality that has been going on not only in Tennessee but in the United States since the late 60s, basically.
Yeah. Last question about that inequality. Do you think it's the case that workers at these plants actually think of those issues in those terms? This is, are they thinking of it as a struggle against the wealthy company owners or stockholders, or do they think of it in more personal terms?
They may think of it in personal fairness terms. So they see that working families and middle-class families may be having trouble making ends meet, and then they hear stories, at least in the media, of very wealthy executives who are not having trouble making ends meet. So they may not view it as a political ideology, but they may feel it.